Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Well, it's an honor to be here. If you're listening online or this has been sent to you, it's coming live from New Horizons Church on the border of Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire. It's time for a visit. And if you've got out of the habit of coming to church and you're listening to this, come and pay a visit. It's time to get back in the house and get your life in the center of God's will. It's also great to have my friends Reese and Laura here, part of TLC in Leicester. They live 2 minutes from this building. So, you know, feel free to persuade them. I'm going to save them a lot of petrol if they come here. But we value them very much. So you're going to have to make a very big offer. Well, before I share what I feel the Father's placed on my heart for you, I want to say a couple of things to you prophetically. This year, as part of our summer holidays, Susan and I took our grandchildren to Disneyland Paris. Now, I've got two sons. Samuel's 30, Thomas is 28. Thomas is married to Philippa. And we went to Disneyland Paris. I've never been before. It's like walking into a Disney film. It's a bit overwhelming, the amount of shops selling the same toys in different ways, but it's overwhelming. You walk in. And on the second day we were there, Thomas and I were running in, thinking we'll get to some rides early. And as we ran in, there was Goofy at the side. And I found that both of us were distracted and ran towards Goofy, get a photo with Goofy. And I suddenly thought, there's a man in a suit going, oh, it's hot today. You know, and I thought, I don't need that. But we went and we were there at the park, very fascinating. The procession each night, the gates open, and out come all the Disney characters. Mary Poppins at the front. I was so excited. And you begin to call out the names of all the Disney characters that are coming back. You know, Elsa, Elsa. And, you know, thinking, what am I doing? But it was so exciting. And then fireworks in the evening on the castle and, oh, just overwhelming. And it's pretty much as good as you can do as a human with visuals and music and creativity. And I was thinking that the one I love the most, just a postage stamp of his creativity, is better than everything at every theme park in the world. And as you begin a new term, a new chapter, a new day, schools go back. This is an exciting term for you as a church. This is a time of growth, a time of development, going deeper. As you set your hearts to run again, I just want to say a few very simple things to you. Firstly, keep Jesus at the center of everything. I think there's a little PowerPoint coming up before me just with a few thoughts and some scriptures. I won't go to all of them. Keep Jesus at the center. It's 900 days since I was last with you, when you were in the school. And God has been good to you. He has been good to you. He has been good to you. And I want to urge you to keep Jesus at the center of every part of the house. He is the foundation of everything that is blessed in New Horizons. He is. And if you keep him at the center, if you keep him at the center, you're going to walk in blessing over this next season. Secondly, I want to urge you to trust him with everything. You know, individually with your life and with your marriage, with your health and your finances, trust him in everything you have. But as a house, God has been faithful to you, and his promise is that he will continue to be faithful. And if you will trust him, all the people, all the provision, all the premises you need for all the plans of God are going to come to you at just the right time. Thirdly, I want to urge everyone in the room and everyone listening, play your part with joy. Be regular in the house. Be regular in the house. I sometimes say to Susan, what do people do when they don't go to church? You know, you say, well, we have a croissant, we read the papers, we mow the lawn. Yeah, but come on. Being with God's people, be regular, serve in the house. I don't know how often you're asked to serve in the house, but 1 in 3 weeks, 1 in 4, whatever it is, maybe it's 1 in 2, not sure, maybe it's every week. But be regularly serving in the house, give in the house, give to God in the house, invest. If you're joining the church in this new facility and you come in and you go, wow, this is great, I love it, it's brilliant, I think we'll make this home. Welcome. This has been a huge journey of faith, and you've come in at the top of it and you're blessed. Now invest in it to help the house go to the next level. And pray here and laugh. I love the community, the Prince of Bel-Air theme tune. My eldest son is going to love that you played that here this morning. Every episode watched a number of times. You know, laugh in the house. Be grateful. And listen, if you will play your part with joy, I believe there's a river of greater blessing both for you and for the house than you've ever known. Fourthly, I want to urge you as a house to allow yourself to be uncomfortable. Multitudes in the valley of decision. You know, we see the lostness of the world, the huge need that surrounds us, 1.1 million people in Nottinghamshire, just over 1 million people in Derbyshire. And the majority need Jesus. Probably 3-4% are born again. The rest are facing a lost eternity. And I want to urge you, the heart of God to you today. Will you, as a church, allow yourself to become a little bit uncomfortable, to turn the needs around you to your knees and begin to cry out for more people to be saved and baptized and changed and transformed by the gospel? I believe if you begin to pray with fresh faith, if you do it, there's another level of blessing coming. And lastly, I want to urge you as a house, just before I preach, to be expectant. I just believe the Father loves this church. He loves his whole bride. But he's here. He loves this house. He loves your faith. He loves your bravery. Yeah. I love the honor spirit that's in Andy and Becky. I love that honor spirit. That sense of honoring the past former leaders, that sense of an honoring of all ages in the house, that's very precious, very precious. He knows your faith. He knows your bravery. He knows your pioneering heart. He knows that journey. He knows it. Your longings, frustrations, the tests. And I believe that if you'll press in, there's a new river of his love and his presence. And some of that's going to be slightly different to what you've known as a house before. In moments of great exuberance, and can I say it to you, in moments of quiet and even silence, there's a new measure of his power to come. Amen. I want to talk to you. Excuse me, I'm going to take my jacket off. I didn't realize it was going to be as warm as it is, but it's lovely. Oh, thank you. I remember my first car, Vauxhall Magnum 1800, 10 gallons to the mile, cost me £425. It was white. I called it Vanessa. It went like the wind. And I came from a family that had never had a car. My mum and dad never learnt to drive. My dad drove a little moped for the whole of his life with an L plate. And when he took his test, he failed it. So that's the measure. So my mum failed her driving test 5 or 6 times. We never had a car as kids. And I was the first person in our family to have a car. And I wanted to impress my mother with what a good driver I was. She was a terrible passenger. Terrible. She would grip the, you know, inside. And they were dreadful travellers. And we went to, I took her out for a drive. Went into a car park. Parked the car in front of a wall. And I said to Mum, we're going to have a really safe drive. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to feel great about it. I said, let's. And so we checked our belts were working, etc. I put it in gear, looked over my shoulder, and drove straight forward into the wall in front of us. It really helped her with a sense of lack of faith. You know, really, really built something up there. But I've been processing in my own life and thinking through this year, what happens when we, as the people of God, hit an unexpected wall? For most of us, a wall is a crisis. It's a crisis in our lives. Perhaps it's a job loss. Perhaps it's a change. It's the death of a close friend or a family member. Perhaps it's a cancer diagnosis. Perhaps it's a disillusioning church experience. A betrayal, a shattered dream. A divorce, a child who loses their way. A car accident, an inability to get pregnant, or perhaps a deep desire to marry that remains unfulfilled, a dryness, a loss of joy, sadness, challenges in our mental health, the tiredness of the journey. And then you pause and you realize it's taken a lot out. Questions that come up in our faith journey. There's no one in the room who hasn't experienced a wall. And all of us will probably experience some others. And very rarely do we expect it. It comes. And perhaps you're there at the moment. Perhaps you're listening online and that's where you are at the moment. You know, how are we going to respond in moments like that that happen? What's going to happen in us? I recently found myself reading again a book in the Old Testament, the book of Job, and I found it so powerful because Job's life was in such a positive place. His family was blessed. He had a strong marriage. His children were healthy and he was prosperous. He was wealthy, had lots of animals and staff. He was just in such a good place. And then without warning, he hits many walls. His children lose their lives. His animals were killed. His wealth was taken from him. He lost his staff. His health was impacted. His marriage went through crisis in a deeply traumatic time. Now, it's highly unlikely we're going to face that degree of trauma. But how are we going to respond when we hit a wall? I've been a follower of Jesus now for 33 years, and I've been in ministry as a leader for 31 years. And I've faced many walls over the years. And even this year, I would say facing my biggest wall personally. And on every occasion, I've never said, Lord, I've been thinking I'd really like to have a wall in my life. I've just been planning. I've got the diary, April. Bring a wall on. I'm ready. You know, I've never, ever said that. In fact, I wasn't expecting a wall that came. I have never liked it. I have felt it's not been fair. And yet when you come through it, even with scars, something happens with you, if you can get through it, that you're never the same again. And a question that stirs in me when I read Job and when I think about the whole challenge of facing a wall is this. How can we let what happens to us in a fallen world be a stepping stone to another level rather than a stumbling block in our lives? Let's just move the PowerPoint on, guys, shall we? How do we do that? Well, here's some thoughts. The first one is this. We're never promised a pain-free journey. We're never promised a pain-free journey. And shall we accept good from God? We read in Job, and not trouble from God. I don't like that phrase. I love the good. Bring the good on. Trouble. Ooh. See, Job was innocent and he goes through this time of sadness in his own life. But surely in Christ, we're free from trauma. I was speaking at a leaders event on Friday and I said, sometimes being Pentecostal is a real challenge. Some of my friends who very much just believe in the sovereignty of God, that miracles aren't for today, and we just accept it living in a fallen world. It's easier when things go wrong because as Pentecostals, we believe in healing, we believe in deliverance, we believe in blessing, the power of the blood of Jesus. We believe that God is able to do anything. And I say amen to all of that. But suffering is part of living in a fallen world. Paul, writing to Timothy, said this, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Gosh, some of us have cut that verse out. We're not promised a pain-free journey. I listened to the testimony of a young girl who was baptized in one of our city campuses last week. She's 17. And just listening to her story, I was so impacted by it, because I remember 8 years ago when her parents, who were both in the church, broke up and were divorced. And we didn't see her for a long time, the family. It was such a sad occasion. And when she's telling a story, she's talking about this time standing there. And she talks about how in her school, somebody had died in her class. And they'd all prayed because he'd gone into a coma that God would do something. And then he died. And then through that, facing the questions, she'd found herself back in church. She'd found herself getting connected with Jesus. And here she was declaring the goodness of God. And I'm looking at this young girl giving her testimony, knowing that her parents are in the room with their new partners and all their family and everyone's in the room. And I'm going to get the chance to share the gospel. We're never promised a pain-free journey. I'm sorry. But secondly, everyone hits walls in their pilgrimage. Everyone hits walls. You know, perhaps you came in and you go, oh, I don't want this. I want a war-free life. So do I. It's brilliant when you have a period. But it's part of walking in a fallen world. Naked, Job writes here, I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'll depart. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away, but let his name be praised. We should expect and pray for God's intervention in everything. We should never lose our expectation in our hearts that just perhaps today God is able. We should believe for a breakthrough, and we hit walls. You know, mature faith can cope with a wall because it understands the area of mystery that there is in Christianity. Job was the Bill Gates of the day. He had staggering wealth. He'd have been the front page of every business magazine. He was a godly man, faithfully walking in the will of God, and he hits a wall. We must never live in fear. Some of us in the room need to get set free from the fact that someone in our, perhaps our mum, or someone close to us dies of cancer, and another relative, and we think it's only a matter of time. Listen, this morning you can be free of that fear. That hereditary thing that you say, well, it's always been in my family, so it's going to, no. God can break that over you. We shouldn't live in fear and anxiety. His grace is sufficient. We mustn't just live in the what happens if, but we hit walls. I love this passage in Isaiah. Don't fear. The heart of the Father says, I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they're not going to sweep over you. Listen, when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Because I love you and you're precious and you're honored in my sight. Everybody hits walls. Thirdly, I believe it's okay to ask God any questions you like. He can take it. He can take it. In fact, let me say, complain away. Job says this, I love this. I desire to speak to the Lord Almighty and argue my case with God. I love that. I've come for a chat. You are wrong. I mean, if you've never done this in your walk with Jesus, I don't believe you. The Father can take your indignation. He can cope with your questions and at times your criticisms. I love the Psalms. They're filled with dozens of questions and complaints to God. It's all right to open your heart to him. You may need to apologize afterwards. But he can take your words. I've asked many questions at times. Why, Lord? Why not? I thought. I had hoped. However, at the end, you're going to make a choice every time. Every time. Will you trust him? Will you still follow him? I listened to a man on our staff preached last week and talked about the sadness of a miscarriage that they'd walked through as a family. I talked to another young couple in leadership recently walking through the same thing, the sadness of it. You don't feel it any less because you love Jesus. You feel it. However, at the end, you're going to make a choice every time. Will you still love me? Will you still follow me? Jesus had brought some offense to people when he talked about communion, and he'd expressed some things that were hard for them to understand, and the crowd that was with him began to walk away. And Jesus looked at the disciples with him, and he said this, do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave too? And I love Peter. Peter, blunderer, foot in it, loud mouth, but he says this, Lord, where else are we going to go? Because you're it. You're it. I've got nowhere else to go. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. There have been times in my own life where I've sat on my own in my time. I pray in my lounge. I've got some double doors that I open looking back onto our garden and I'm very blessed. And almost every day I open the doors. I sit there in a blanket, cuddle, it's freezing. And I sit there and I have poured out my heart. And at the end of it, every time so far, I'm going, I'm still going to love you, Lord. You are it. When you hit a wall, it's okay to complain and ask questions, but here, you've got no right to get any answers. You probably won't. Sometimes. You know, I love children. Having grandchildren is so... I'm incredibly young to be a grandfather. I know you're feeling that. But all three of our grandchildren, they get to a certain phase and it's, why? And eventually you get to the point, because I say so and that's it. But I love children asking questions. You know, Abraham was called to sacrifice the son he had waited for a lifetime. You know, why? Moses was hidden for 40 years and called at 80 to an impossible task. Why? David received the promise of greatness in his life and then was rejected and harassed by Saul for no reason. Why? Jeremiah was called to 50 years to stand firm for God's values in the middle of a rebellious people. And he could have gone every day. Why? What's the point? Job put it like this, though I cry, I get no response. Though I call for help, there's no justice. He's blocked my way so that I cannot pass. He's shrouded my path in darkness. This is him praying his journey. He says, he stripped me of my honor. He's removed the crown from my head. He tears me down. He uproots my hope. Wow. You say, well, he was depressed. I think he's praying. He's pouring out his heart. Many people in the Bible didn't get the response they hoped for. Today we get so focused on our rights. I was with a friend of mine who I love dearly, Pastor Samuel Munai, leads an amazing church on the edge of a slum where 400,000 to 500,000 people live. And I was with him just recently looking at this work that's been established of a church of thousands of people and a compassionate work into the slum. And I said, tell me again, explain to me again how it works here. To do with tax credits, to do with free healthcare, to do with benefits. I said, just do it one more time. I said, so if I lose my job, what happens? He says, you get nothing unless you work again. I said, so if I'm a single parent and I find myself without income, what happens? He says, nothing comes unless the church or family give you something. I said, if I'm sick and near death and I need emergency care, what happens? And he says, you either get money to get the help or you die. There is no support in so many countries around the world. And the fact is here, let me say something to you. You have no rights other than the undeserved grace gift that's been offered to you by the Father. You've got no rights. This whole thing of my rights, it falls into insignificance. Fifthly, talking about Job, we need encouragers, but you're going to face the wall by yourself. I love this. When people come and sit with him and he says this, you are all miserable comforters, all of you. I trust that when Pastor Steve visits you, that's not your response. You are a miserable comforter. I trust that's not the response. I trust it's every part of my life is better from just having a few moments with the legend that is Pastor Stephen Bell. But it's fascinating the wisdom they gave him. What they said to him was this, if you drill it down, all this has happened because you've sinned. All these tough things in your life's happened because you're a sinner. You know, occasionally that can be the case. But very often it isn't. It's just a wall. The best thing that those guys did around him was to not say anything. That was the most helpful thing. We need friends who love us, who pray for us, pastors who stand with us, a church where we're safe, even in the middle of a storm. That's what this is. You know, sometimes when people are going through a tough time, they say, I need to stay away from the house because I've got to be perfect to come to the house. You come as you are, spiritually in your pajamas and slippers and a dirty t-shirt, and you mix with friends. Don't come like that. And if you do, we'll still love you, but, you know. We've had everything in Nottingham of people coming and wearing, let me tell you. But the fact is, you run to the house. But you're going to face the wall by yourself. Honestly, you're going to go through it yourself. I've learned this, that sometimes grace, sixthly, is disguised, but his way is best. Job says it like this. He says, "Where I know the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I'm going to come forth as gold." We're never going to grasp all the answers, But we make the why a point of worship, and something happens. As an eldership last year, we prayed for a beautiful praying lady in our congregation. She sat with us, had come, James 5, anoint me with oil that I'll be healed. She sat there with cancer and she said, we just planted a church where she lived in Birstall. She was a praying warrior. She'd prayed for many, many years that God would do something. We'd moved into the area. The church was growing, our campus there, and she wanted to be at the heart of it. And she said, I want to pray that I would be healed. We prayed with every prayer we knew. And just a few months later, standing at her funeral in the local Anglican church, a packed church of all her friends, people who live in that area, I suddenly understood just a little bit of God's understanding, that in the tragedy of her going, we had the opportunity to share Jesus with hundreds of people and declare the goodness of God in the middle of the questions. I love the Habakkuk picture. He says, though there's no fig trees on the vine, if there's no sheep and the things are going wrong, I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to be joyful. Paul put it a different way. He said, the moment we see as a reflection in a mirror, then we're going to see him face to face. We know in part, but then we're going to know fully, even as we're fully known. In the middle of every wall, there's grace. And one day we're going to understand. Maybe not in this life, but we're going to get through it. Yes. And we get a new day. I think we also learn this, that we're not the main event. We're not the main event. We want to be the main event, but we're not. Our lives were bought at a price. He says this. He says, I know my Redeemer lives. And in the end, I'm going to stand on the earth. The facts are, it's not about us. It's about him. Are we important? You are. It's so important. The cross demonstrates that to you. It's the greatest statement of love ever. But in the end, it's about Jesus. I find that death to self is very difficult. A pastor that I grew up with, Eric Madison, who's now in heaven, and some of the old saints in the room will remember Eric, his love of peanuts and motorbikes. His whole life, he preached one message. I once saw him preach. He used to get people saved almost every time he preached. I once saw him in a church make an appeal, and a young girl was there, a little girl. She was pulling a sock up like this. And he looked and he said, I see that hand. And then other people responded. It was a fantastic moment. Could preach on anything and get people saved. But he had one message, Romans 6:6. Death to self. It's all he ever talked about. And he'd be in a meeting with you and sometimes you'd react carnally and go, ah, not dead, just fainted. He'd go, I can hear the nails on your coffin lid coming up. There's an unholy resurrection. We're not the main event. Our lives were bought at a price. We all face walls, listen. We all face walls, but we have to walk through them, not bounce off them. I read this at the start of this year. Don't run away. Rather walk forward and let the experience of a disappointment, tragedy, transform you. The quickest way to reach the light is not to chase west after the sun, but head east into the darkness until you finally reach the sunrise. How we respond to a wall is an indicator of our faith. It's like the commitment within a marriage, within a relationship. People get together, marriage teaching, and friendship. We've just had some new staff members at our house in Leicester. I say to all of them this, there's four stages to this relationship. Firstly, oh, I love this. It's wonderful. You've got to get to stage two. This is all right, this is. Stage three, I'm not sure I want to stay here because that person's got faults. The fourth one, which is where you've got to get with every relationship, it's not perfect, but I'm committing to it. It's like that if you're visiting here. If you're here and going, oh, new horizons, it's all perfect and nothing. I want you to get to stage three quickly where you go, this is not a perfect church because it isn't. And then go this, but I'm committing. I'm going to be part of the house because that's it. It's the same in a marriage, in a friendship, and it's certainly true in a church. How we respond to those moments when it's tough. Are we going to go through it? Or are we going to bounce off it and have to do it again? One of the ladies that works with us leads an amazing community center that's transforming an area in the bottom 10% of poverty and depravity in the country. This is her story. She writes this, when I was born, my parents were part of an exclusive and controlling sect. Attendance at meetings was compulsory. This included an evening meeting every day in the week, Saturday morning, three services on Sunday starting at 6 a.m. There were so many rules to keep, and most of them were based on being separate from the world. I couldn't have a pet. I really wanted a monkey, she says. What a kid. I couldn't play with other children unless they were part of our group. Television, worldly music, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, celebrating Christmas were all forbidden. And when I was 11, my dad questioned the leadership decision, was suspended from the meetings, and then because we couldn't reconcile, we were banned from all of it. At that time, I felt as if my whole world, my grandparents, my aunties, my uncles, cousins, and friends, the only world I'd ever known, all got on an aeroplane and plunged into the sea. I have never seen any of those people again in over 40 years. But before long, our family began to recover, and Dad found a friend he had worked with who was a Jesus follower. We went to visit them, and then a journey began. I was taken aback to hear these people praying and speaking to God as Father. We went with them to an AOG church and were taught so many things. Baptizing water, we were filled with the Spirit. We couldn't wait to be with the people of God. And I now have the joy, she says, of saying that my brother and my sister, our five children, are all walking with Jesus. I'm so grateful, she writes, that I now know a God who loves me and wants an intimate friendship with me, where we serve him out of that great love rather than having to follow a set of rules. We live under grace instead of law, love instead of fear. When you hit a wall, you gotta go through it. Yeah. You know, as a kid, it might be that your girlfriend, it falls apart, and it's a massive thing to you. I'm not gonna make it small. It's a wall and you hit it. You gotta go through it because there's another day coming. Everyone hits walls. It's all right. It's all right to ask God questions. You may not get the answers you want. You know, you need encouragers around your life, but you're going to face it by yourself. His way's always best. It's not about us. You got to walk through it. And listen, let me say lastly this. It's always the answer, whatever you face, to walk with Jesus. Job says this. He says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Whatever you're going to face, whatever wall you hit, Jesus is the answer. Listen, he's the foundation of every secure life. He's the road to walk for every fulfilled life. He's the heartbeat of every blessed life. I've sat with people over the years who faced indescribable tragedy and sadness and brokenness. More and more people with their mental health, with depression and sadness. Listen, there's a place for you if you have mental health issues in the house. You can be loved, don't be ashamed. You can be loved and helped and supported in those challenges. But it's always the answer to walk and run with Jesus. To say, God, I don't like this. And through your tears say, but I will trust you. I will love you. Never, ever throw away your confidence. Never throw away your confidence. In 1952, there was a young lady called Florence Chadwick. She'd become the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. And now she set out to swim from the Catalina Island to Californian coast. It's a challenging swim, about 20 miles, and the water was very rough and it was so cold. And on the morning she set out to swim, she had a little boat at the side of her and it was foggy and the water was choppy and she was cold. And after she'd been swimming for some time, she began to say, I'm about done, I need to get in the boat. And her mother was in the boat and she kept saying, no, keep going, keep going, keep going. But eventually, totally exhausted, they had to take her into the boat. And once she was there, she discovered this, that she was less than half a mile from the shore. And at a news conference later, she said this, all I could see was fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. Just open your eyes. You know, heaven, our eternal home. No more tears, no more sadness. Open your eyes. He's standing at the side of you through every challenge you faced, every difficulty. He's there. He's never left you. He's walking with you, embracing you and loving you. All is well in the middle of everything that isn't well. And you are deeply loved. And when you get through the wall, there's a new day again of walking. Father, I pray for every person in this room, every man and woman, boy and girl, everyone listening to this message, Lord. You know, sometimes, Father, it's hard. I'm so comforted by Jesus' words, where even he, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, pouring his heart out, he says, if there's any other way, I'd like it. But not what I will want in my life, what you want, Father, I trust you. And Jesus struggled, and you know we struggle. Thank you for your embrace. Every person in this room with any cloud hanging over them, any hidden sadness in their life, any brokenness, thank you that you are the answer. You are the one who walks with us through the wall to a new day. And just in God's presence here, we're going to go and share coffee in a moment. Be together. Don't rush off. Stay around. Listen, the presence of God is here just to minister to you right now. Just breathe him in. Breathe in that love of God. Everything is all right. I want to say to you, everything is all right. Everything is all right. Everything is all right. And I just feel to prophesy over you as a house. I feel that actually the building of this building was a getting through a wall. It was a wall of restriction actually over you as a house. It was a wall that wanted to limit you. And what this wall gives you in coming through it now is the freedom for a time. I can see the church growing, perhaps multiple services in the future, maybe planting out, all exciting. There'll be other walls ahead. Listen. He's brought you through this one. He's going to bring you through every one. And I prophesy, Father, Lord, I just kneel in this house and I prophesy for strength. Lord, I believe more strong leaders to lead the ministries that are going to be planted. Father, I prophesy to the resources of this house in the name of Jesus. I pray that tithes and offerings, regular giving through standing orders would increase. You, Holy Spirit, you would move in everyone's heart in this room who's part of New Horizons and others who are on their way to join. The giving will increase. You know this is a house that deals well with the money that's invested. Integrity-filled house, thank you. I pray this would be a river of salvation and miracles. Keep Jesus at the center. When you see him doing things, it's all about him. Be blessed, such as I have, Lord. I just lay hands on this place, such as I have. I give you in the name of Jesus. In the name of a river of worship, a river of the prophetic. Lord, this is an open heaven. Let there be a thin, thin heaven over this place where it's easy to meet with Jesus. Go and just put your hands out in front of you, sat there. Just, I don't want you to miss. Just breathe in the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you right now. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand together, can we? If you're kneeling, you stay kneeling. But if you stand, let's stand together. Just put your hands out in front of you. I'm going to pray one last prayer. Father, you know the needs of every person in this room. There are some people with red bills on their fridges. There are some people who are longing for a fresh start in their life. There are some people here guilty with the antidepressants they take at home. I pray in the name of Jesus that right now you would lift off fear and worry and condemnation, and you would place hope in every person in this room in the name of Jesus. Lord, you spoke to me at the start here. Everyone who's lost someone through a hereditary sickness, listen, in the name of Jesus, be free of that pattern in your life. Trust him right now. Be filled with the Spirit. Just as you stand there, just begin to thank him. Go and begin to thank him out loud. Come on, everyone. Just begin to thank him. In the name of Jesus, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Be filled, be blessed. in the name of Jesus. We love you, we honor you, we praise you, we lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, how great you are. How great you are. How great you are. Go on, can you sing a new song here this morning? Just open your heart and just begin to sing. Jesus, Jesus, we trust you. We trust you.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.